I would like to give you this little gift, and it's called the Love Letter of God, the Father's Love Letter. And the purpose of this, I'll give each one of you one of these. Yes. You're looking for a little bow and a little pen. Here you go. And you get, oh, I'm sorry. All right. There you go. This is a little pamphlet. I know guys don't like to read a lot. So, So I gave you this. It's short enough, but it is a love letter from God. And it really encompasses the Word of God. It's Scripture written in the form of a love letter from God so that you can hear what the Father says to you. This is a love letter from your Heavenly Father. God has already declared what and who He is to you and to me. And His desire is for us to know it. And so I would challenge you to learn these passages and this word so that you can impart it to those who you influence in your lives, so that those around you would see and have hope and vision, and that they would have a desire and passion to serve our Lord, and that you would be an example for Christ and all that He has called us to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you all. Thank you guys so very much. We love you, and we look forward to you being a godly witness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Yes. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Well, how awesome is it to be a child of God?
Woo!
How awesome is it to be loved by your Heavenly Father? You are not abandoned, you're not orphaned, you're not left to fend for yourself, but God, He is there for us. He is available to us. Nothing is impossible for Him. He can do anything. In fact, the Bible says the only reason you don't have something is because you didn't ask. Isn't that right? You have not because you didn't ask. And that's so easy to do. We get caught up in situations and circumstances, and we forget to consult the Lord. Our desire ought to first to hear what God would have to say, that God would give us direction, that God would give us wisdom. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." In other words, His disciples know Him. We hear Him, and we understand His voice. We recognize His voice when He speaks, and we take His advice and we apply it in our lives. That's what our Heavenly Father would expect of us. And isn't that what your earthly father would expect of you? How many of you had fathers that gave instruction and direction and then said, "Well, you know, I'm just saying it to be saying it. You don't really have to listen or do it." I don't know that any father would say that. And anybody who would be giving advice, have you ever had a boss that said, "Hey, this is what we expect of you on the job, but hey, you know, you don't have to do it this way if you don't want to. You know, feel free to just come up with your own plan or idea if you feel like it. You know, don't worry, you know, if everything just crashes and burns on you, yeah, you know, we all make mistakes. Don't worry about it." Could you imagine doing that in your job? Ooh, I don't think you'd have that job very long, would you? No, if you weren't fired, you'd be sued probably, right? And so we know that God has a way. He's designed the world, the earth, to work and to function a specific way. And that way has been established in God. And we have been talking about nothing being impossible with God. And the reason nothing is impossible with God is because God knows how the universe was designed to work and function. And so when we apply the principles of God's word, things come into order. and you're able to experience God in an awesome way. And so we have been talking about living in the overflow, filling up in God, so that what comes out of us is now impacting everyone around us. The overflow is what comes out of you when you're squeezed. Hallelujah. I took my car to the dealer the other day, and I was waiting to have it fixed, and they had nice big fluffy donuts filled with strawberry jelly. And I loved that. I said, ooh, I'm going to have one of those. And so I opened it up and I squeezed it just a little bit so the jelly would just peek its little head out of the top. Like, ooh, ooh. Oh, yeah, this is a food day. Well, there is nothing greater than when you have oozing out. Oh, we made peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at the couples event yesterday, right? And there just wasn't quite enough jelly to match the amount of peanut butter that we had. And so it was a little off. So, you know, I couldn't win the contest because I was trying to balance the peanut butter and the jelly. And, I was trying to make it right.
We got it right.
Yeah, they won the contest. Oh, they did win. They won. They did it. I don't know how they did it, but they did. But praise God. God wants us to be filled enough to even overflow. He wants us to be filled with Him. It begins with pursuing God. And so many times we live our lives, so often we're distracted by so many things, and we're not able to stay focused. But when you fill up on God, then when you face opposition, when you face difficult situations and circumstances, you just overflow in God. Everybody is happy when things go their way, isn't that right? You get what you want. It happened the way you expected it to happen. If it went the way you thought it would happen, you were ready. Everything was just smooth. It was just fantastic. You had everything you needed to do what you had to do. And even you ended up on top, even at the end, with extra for yourself. But what happens when things go wrong? What happens when things don't go the way you would expect? What happens when bad things happen to good people? What happens when crazy things happen and all of a sudden you're thrown off course? What happens when somebody does something and it's not your fault, but you have to suffer the consequences? What happens when you're in over your head and you have all kinds of problems and issues that you have to face? Well, I would submit that if you are not living in the overflow, you will be succumbed to whatever the situation is. And you will take on the attitude that you are full of. Whatever you're full of, that's what's going to come out. Whatever you've allowed to cipher into your heart, that's the way you're going to respond. And you're going to flow out of whatever it is that you have filled up on. And that's why the Word of God says, be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of God. And when you get up in the morning, we pray and we seek God. We call upon the name of the Lord. We begin with our morning devotions. Why? Because we know we're going to face opposition today. Amen. We know that evil is waiting for us. In fact, the Word of God says sin is even crouching at the door. And we know opportunity to be thrown off course is always there. And so we have to be ready. We must be able to make a stand so that when those difficulties come, when the pressure begins to squeeze us and comes upon us, that we don't overflow with the wrong attitude, with the wrong words. If you're not filled with the Word of God, then the words of darkness will come out of you, and evil will come out of you. And we must fill up on God. And every day you need a refill. Isn't that right? Every day you need a refill. If you have a glass and you leave half a cup on the table the night before, you don't come back the next day and just say, oh, wow, I still got half a cup left, and drink it, do you? Yeah, you're thinking about that one. But no, because you don't know what kind of dust settled on that at night. you know, there's spiders lurking around the house and all kinds of little creatures, you know. Things happen when the lights go out. That thing was just sitting there, smelling delicious to these little things in the air. And you don't know, because when you come to turn on the light, they scatter. They're gone. All of a sudden, they fly away, or they run away, or whatever it is you have going on there. And you just never know, because sometimes you don't see them. But there it is, your favorite drink or your favorite food left uncovered. Are you going to jump into that? No. What's the first thing you do? You look inside and you swirl it around and make sure nothing is floating inside. And then you might take a chance. Isn't that right? Then you might take a chance after you checked it. But sometimes, depending on what it is, you just pour that thing out. And if you don't know whose it was, oh, you're not going in on that one, are you? Oh, you're going to say, ooh, somebody left a drink. I'm leaving that out. Where is it? Dumping it right in the sink. And you want fresh for the day. And that's the way walking with God is we have to have fresh every day. But we can't go based on yesterday's testimony or yesterday's Bible study or prayer time. We need to spend time with God fresh every morning. The Word of God says the mercies of God are new every morning. And that's what we are looking to do. And so Exodus 18 tells us the story of Moses as he has come out of the wilderness and he meets his father-in-law who is giving him advice. It's always interesting how people love to give advice, especially if it's regarding something that they've never experienced or done themselves. And so here's Moses' father-in-law in verse 18 of 18 in Exodus saying, "You will surely wear out both yourselves and these people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You cannot do it alone." And of course, he's talking about bringing these people from the wilderness into the promised land. And so this is after he's heard and the testimony of what God did to deliver them from Egypt after he realized that God was with them. And when you realize that God is with you, oh, then everybody wants to be on your side. Isn't that right? Oh, everybody wants to be on the side of success. Everybody wants to be on the side of godly favor. And that was no different here. And so I would like to use as a theme today the wisdom of the Father. The wisdom of the Father. Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today?
Yeah.
Well, let's pray. Lord, we are grateful for your word. And we ask, God, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. That you would enable us to overcome obstacles and seize opportunities and be able to represent you in all that we do. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you would enable us to hear your voice and follow you, and that we would recognize godly wisdom when you raise up people to speak into our lives. And Lord, we thank you for all that you are about to do in us, through us, and for us. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, as a man or woman of God, when you get up in the morning and you go out, you should always be ready for God to do something. You should know that God is about to do something. Every day, God is doing something. Every day, God is at work. He's looking to use you as a witness or an example so that you can cause other people to be drawn into a relationship with God. Everything you do either causes people to come closer to God or it drives them away from God. And so to get things off right, we need to seek the face of God. We need to hear from God. We need God to lead us and guide us. Otherwise, you're going to default to what you think, your own wisdom, your own plan, your own ideas. And if you default to your own ways, then you're going to get whatever results your ways will get you. But how much better is it when we consult the Lord? Especially since he has a way of causing things to work. are expecting God to do something in our lives. We're expecting God to meet us as we drive off to work, as we go through our day. We are looking for God to show up. We want favor at work, don't we? We want God to be honored and glorified in what we do. We want God to bless the work of our hands, the things that we do, to prosper us and enable us. And if we want God to do all these things, we must take God with us. In fact, we should follow him into these things. And Jesus said, follow me, not go ahead and then ask me to bless it after the fact. Or ask me to bless it as you have already made up your mind what you're going to do and how you're going to do it. But no, the Christian life is the other way. We pray to be ready for things to come. We pray in order to be ready for things to come. We give thanks for the things that he's already done. Isn't that right? We give thanks for what God has done, but we are praying for the things that are about to be done. And so if you flip that around, then you're going to be all messed up. People want to pray after they're in a hole because God didn't do anything and the devil showed up. And so now we want to pray. No, you give thanks to God that it wasn't worse than it was. And then the next time you say, all right, God, I'm going to seek you first. God, I'm going to ask you to go before me and that you would make the crooked way straight, that you would bring down the mountains and level them so I can walk over them, that you would raise up the valley so that I can go on level ground. But if you don't pray, then you ride the roller coaster. You go up and down. You have this way and that way and this experience and that experience. And so we must learn how to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else is added. But if you don't seek God and put God first, then you get whatever you did put first, whatever power that has, whatever ability that has, that's what you're going to get. And in most cases, it's powerless. It has nothing to offer you but grief and trouble. And so that's why you stay in a perpetual rut. And you continually experience trouble over and over again, problems over and over again. And you're constantly pressing against the wind, and you're going against the tide. And everything is taking life out of you. And you're exhausted, and you're tired, and you're constantly going and going and going. And then when the pressure comes on and you're squeezed, then evil comes out. Because you don't have the power of God. Because God was not really first in your life. And so often people say God is first. But when you examine carefully, and it doesn't take much, you realize that God is really not first. He is second or third. Or maybe he's not even on the list until somewhere down the line somewhere. And so we have to learn how to seek first the kingdom of God. We must be ready. So Moses is here with Jethro, his father-in-law, and they bring a burnt offering together so that they can make sacrifice unto God. And Aaron comes with the elders of Israel, and they're all going to have a meal. Hallelujah. See, this is like Father's Day right here. You see, they came to Jethro. Jethro came to them, and they all met in a place, and they had a Father's Day meal with Moses' father-in-law. And they celebrated, and they gave thanks to God. And it says they offered burnt offerings. Burnt offerings mean what? What does that mean when you see burnt offerings in the New Testament? It means drawing closer to God, right? You remember that? Whenever you read burnt offerings, when you see the words burnt offerings, what that means is that it's the people were drawing closer to God. And when you are drawing closer to God, then you can hear from God. You can experience God. God shows up. That's why Jesus was the sacrificial lamb. He was the lamb that was slain. He was the burnt offering. And so he enables us to be reconciled to God. And so because Jesus has now enabled us to be reconciled to God, we are now drawing closer to God. And that is why they don't have sacrifices anymore. That's why there's no need to sacrifice lambs or goats or sheep or any of these other things that were sacrificed back in those days, because Jesus was the final sacrifice. And so Aaron comes in and they have this Father's Day meal, and they eat together with Moses' father-in-law. And Moses is there telling the story of all that God did for the people of Israel. And it says that it came about the next day that Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood about Moses from the morning until evening. Now that's a long day, from sun up. And the scripture talks about morning until evening. It means generally from about 6 a.m. till 6 p.m. At night. And so it's a 12-hour, it's a full day from sun up until sundown. And here is Moses listening to people's problems and giving them advice on what to do to straighten things out. And so Moses' father-in-law sees all that's going on, and he says, what is this thing that you're doing for the people? He says, why do you sit alone as judge and judge all the people and stand there from morning until evening? What is that? That's a lot of work that you're doing. You're burdened with a lot of issues. You know, people have a lot of problems. You know, people don't realize how many problems people have. Yeah, it's true. People have a lot of problems. And people are looking for advice. They're looking for someone to give them direction. And especially in a situation like Moses, people wanted to have a relationship with Moses because look what he did. He brought the people out of Egypt, didn't he? He had those 10 plagues in Egypt, and that was awesome. That was amazing. And I tell you, when you need advice, you want to go to somebody who is representing God. Isn't that right? And this is why on your job, when you have a godly Christian witness, no matter how much they make fun of you or poke at you or take lightly the things that you say when you talk to them about the Lord, no matter how much they kind of, you know, push things off, when they're in trouble, when there's a problem, where situations arise that are difficult, they don't go to their friends that are laughing and joking with them. They go to the man or the woman of God that they make fun of. And they will pull you off to the side, or they will give you a phone call or send you a message, can I talk to you? Or they'll try to find a way to connect with you so that they can hear what you have to say. Why? Because you represent the kingdom of God. Because you represent the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. And you represent all that God is and all that who he is. And you have a witness. You have a testimony. And therefore, it is powerful. And it causes people to want to come closer to God. Because when trouble comes, people need the help of the Lord. And they know that it's bigger than themselves. And they need people to make a stand. And this is why we as men and the women of God must stand firm and true. It doesn't matter what people say and what they do in a public forum. Oh, they may look at you and say, oh, you're crazy, you and that Jesus. Oh, don't joke, you guys are way out there. You're not even right, all this and that. They'll say all kinds of stuff. But I guarantee you, when trouble hits, when difficulties come, you will come to their mind. And God will bring them your way. And God will use you. And if you are a person who is ready, this is why you have to be ready. This is why you have to be prayed up. This is why you have to be filled with the Word of God, meditating on it day and night. This is why you seek the face of God, because you need to be ready so that when God sends people your way, you can represent the kingdom of God. Give godly counsel and advice, not according to your own ideas, but according to the Word of God. And you will be able to take people into the Scripture and help them to see what God says and how to manage their situation. And so Moses says to his father-in-law, because of the people keep coming to me to inquire of God. And so when they have a dispute, it comes to me, and I judge between a man and his neighbor and make known the statutes of God and his laws. this is the kind of men that are needed. We need men who are able to judge between a man and his neighbor. Isn't that right? You need to be able to make decisions that are godly. I know we live in a day now where everybody's paranoid about the word judging. Everybody uses it all kinds of ways. Don't judge. The Bible says don't judge. Well, the Bible doesn't say don't judge. It says judge in a way that you would want to be judged. And it says to judge righteously. To judge righteously. Not don't judge at all. It's saying to judge appropriately. In other words, make wise decisions. Make sure your assessments are godly and based on the word of God and are true. Now, we don't condemn people. It's not about condemnation, but it's about giving godly advice. It's about giving godly instruction. And so Moses is judging based on the statutes of God and his laws. We need to know the statutes of God and his laws. We need to know the principles that are in the word of God. And we need to be able to operate according to the instruction of the Lord. And so Moses' father-in-law says to him, the thing that you are doing is not good. It's not good. You will surely wear yourself out, both yourself and the people who are with you, for the task is too heavy for you. You can't do it alone. So many people want to do it alone. We've had people in the church, you know, you give them a responsibility and you say, well, can you ask two or three people to give you a hand and help you? And they say, oh, no, I got this. Oh, no, I can do it. And you say, well, you know, you really should get somebody to help you. You really should not do it alone because it's really a lot to do. And even if it's not so much for you, for most people it's a lot to do. And it would still be easier for you if you had a helper, if you had somebody to work alongside of you. And people don't get it. People see that as a sign of weakness or a sign of that they're not capable of doing something. But that's not the way God sees it. God says, I'm here to make the load lighter and to make your burden light, to enable you to accomplish and do good things in a timely manner. And so that's what Moses was learning in this passage. He was learning from his father-in-law that this was too much for one man to deal with. That there were between two and three million people that came out of Egypt into the promised land or into the wilderness on their way to the promised land. And those people were now having problems. You get millions of people together, believe me, there's going to be more than two or three people coming with problems, isn't that right? Well, clearly, Moses was there from sunup to sundown every day with people coming with problems, with disputes, with issues. My goodness, he was trying to handle that all by himself. And I tell you, even a family has a father and a mother, isn't that right? And when you're in the household, you can't just do it alone. You need one another. You need each other in order to run the house well, to be effective, and to do what needs to be done. It takes teamwork. Teamwork makes the dream work, they said. Teamwork makes the dream work, right? I'm going to write that down. Hallelujah. Because God has called us to be people who work together, who enable us to overcome the challenges and the difficulties that automatically happen when you're in the midst of a magnitude of people. And so he goes on, he says, listen to me, I will give you counsel, and God be with you. You be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. So that's good advice, isn't it? He's saying, hey, man, listen. You have to break this thing up, and we'll let people bring issues to you, but you have to bring them to God. In other words, your dependence needs to be on God, not on yourself. Not on yourself. Depend on God. And so that's the first step here. The first step is to learn how to depend on God. Learn how to depend on God. Don't even trust yourself. Don't trust your memory. Don't trust your own mind, your own ideas. Just trust in God. Say, God, give me direction. Simple prayer. Just acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Isn't that what the Word of God says? Just acknowledge me. Just say, God, I need you. Just a simple acknowledgement. And you invite God in. Now, God, because God is in you, right? Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Christ is in you. And so God is looking for you to interact with him so that he can direct your path, so he can lead you in the way that you should go. And so when you call on the name of the Lord, he will deliver you. And so we are to represent God before people. And then he says, teach them the statutes and the laws, and make known to them the way which they are to walk and the work they are to do. You see, this is what we ought to be doing. This is what we do in our families. We do that with each other, husbands and wives, parents and their children. This is what we do. And when we interact with people on our job, and we are there to counsel and advise people, not according to our own ideas, not according to what we want or what we think, but according to the direction of God, the word of the Lord, that we would follow the law and the plans of God, and we make them known to people so that they can walk in the ways of the Lord and in the work that they do to glorify and honor God. This is what the church does. This is the responsibility of being a part of a church, so that we can all gain godly direction. Isn't that right? And so God becomes the center of our lives, and then the church is the institution God established in order to enable us to grow in God. So many people say, I can serve God at home. I can study the word, and I can learn of God at home. Well, you might start off okay, but I guarantee you after a while you're going to go off track. And that is because you need the body of Christ to be speaking into your life. And we need each other to help keep us on track and on course. Otherwise, you end up like Jim Jones or the Jehovah's Witness or somebody. You have some idea, well, you don't like this in the Bible, so you'll leave that out and you'll only hold on to things that you want. And this is how we end up with all these other ideas and thoughts and ways that people have adapted over the years because they followed somebody who wasn't right with God. And somebody had their own idea and decided to go off and try to find people who would agree with that. And that's the day and age that we live in. That's what the Bible says, that in the last days that people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And they will have itching ears, and they will be desiring to hear what they want to hear. Even today, we know people go to churches where they're going to hear what they want to hear. And more importantly, they're going to go where they don't want to hear what they don't want to hear. Hallelujah. But we need to hear the whole counsel of God. We need to know the fullness of God. We need to understand that God has not just placed us in the earth and left us to believe and trust blindly and allow us to wander through the world. No, God has given us his power, his strength, an outpouring of his Holy Spirit, so that we can have the strength to overcome the obstacles of the enemy that we would face. God enables us to overcome, and he enables us to prosper in our way as we apply the principles of God, as we learn the statutes and the laws of God, we are able to walk in them. And furthermore, he says, you should select out of all the people able men who fear God. Yes, that's a hard thing to find, isn't it? Yes, just think about that for a few minutes. Oh, able men. That means men who can do things. Hallelujah. There's a lot of men who want to do things, but they can't do them. Hallelujah. Not men who are too weak. They can't lift. Their back is hurting. Their leg is hurting. They're too tired. God says, look, I can't use people. Give me some able men. Even Moses, he needed able men. And he said, I need men who fear God, who fear God more than the boss, who fear God more than their wife, for a few good men who can lead in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the people. But they are hard to find. Men who are faithful, men who are available, teachable, have a heart after God, who are excited, who have a heart for responsibility and desire, who are responsible and respectable people, who are willing to be servants to all. Oh, these kind of men are difficult to find. They're hard to find. In fact, they're like needles in a haystack. They're very, very difficult to come across. And that's what God has called us to do. I was telling them the first service, the story of my mother made me this, she made it for our men's ministry probably about 20 years ago. I had this sweatshirt. You may have seen me wear it. It says, God is looking for a few good men. Hallelujah. I was wearing this in the store one day, and I noticed this woman staring at me. And so I was walking down one of the aisles, and I turned out I was alone in the aisle. She came up to me, and she says, yeah, God is looking for a few good men. And I said, yeah, yes, he is. She said, well, so am I. So am I. I said, well, praise God, sister. Keep looking. I'm sure. And I had to get out of there. I got out of that aisle. I was just here. Hallelujah. Well, God is looking for a few good men, but he's looking for able men. He's looking for men who are willing and wanting to serve, who are capable and able to do things for the Lord, who are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, who are able to lead and represent the kingdom of God, the people of God. And so it is important for us to stay diligent and stay fit and capable so that God can use us in any situation or circumstance. And so verse 22 says, let them judge the people at all times, and let it be that every major dispute they will bring to you, but every minor dispute they themselves will judge. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you. And this is how we manage things together as a people of God. Isn't that right? There are some things that, you know, we can handle ourselves. Then other things that we need a little more wider advice, and we need a little more help from someone with a little more experience and knowledge regarding the things of God. And maybe some things that just need to be brought out clearer so that we can do a little bit better in our decision making. All these things are what the church actually does. And we build up families. We build up individuals, husbands, wives, men, women, children. And our desire is to fill them up and enable them to be ready to be used of God, able-bodied people, for the kingdom of God's sake. The word of God says, in the last days, your sons and your daughters will prophesy. It says that you will have dreams and even visions of the young men and the old men. And God is going to be speaking to his people. And he is going to be raising up a people that are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is what God is doing in the midst of us. And we need to be the people that God can use. Able-bodied, in pursuit of God, hungry and thirsty for righteousness and for his name's sake. And if you do this, he says, God so commands you. In other words, Jethro is telling Moses, this is the word from God that you were seeking the Lord for. Moses came out of the across the Red Sea and went to the place where he sought the face of God to get directions so that he would know what to do next. And he said, God, we crossed over the Red Sea. Now we're in the wilderness. Now what? Which way do we go? And he sought God for direction. And he waited on the Lord. And he was waiting on the Lord when all of a sudden Jethro came along as he was managing the people and gave him direction. And here he says, so God so commands you. This is from God. And we have to know when God is speaking to us. We have to learn how to recognize when something comes from God. Now, Jethro, he was a pagan. He wasn't anybody of any real significance in God. He wasn't Abraham or Isaac or Jacob or any of that lineage. This guy was living in the hills and the mountains. He only met Moses when he ran out of Egypt and was looking for a place to hide. Moses married his daughter. And so here's this guy who now, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, is being used of God. And I would submit to you, anyone you encounter, God can use. Because you are anointed of God. You are blessed of God. You have been called of God. You have been redeemed. You have been born from above. You are the ones who have experienced life everlasting. And because you have been bought with a price, because Christ has redeemed you and you belong to him, anybody and everybody who comes in contact with you has potential to be used of God to help you. And you ought not take that for granted. You need to understand that even an unbeliever can be used by God to give you wise counsel, wise advice. And so we have to stop looking at the outward appearance, stop looking at the faces and who it is. And we need to hear, is this the word of the Lord? Is God giving me something that I need in order to help me to prosper and to do what I need to do more effectively? Christians ought to be able to learn from anybody, anywhere, anytime. Because God is the one who brings you together. He orders the footsteps of the righteous. And we have to be ready and not despise those whom God has chosen to use. Balak had to listen to a mule. And if he had to listen to that mule, he would have been in big trouble. And so I would submit to you, there may be a lot of mules in your life that you need to listen to. And you just never know what God is going to do. And we have to always be ready to receive from God, to hear from God. And so Moses listened to his father-in-law and did all that he said. How awesome is that? One of the most challenging relationships any person will have in his life is with his own in-laws. Those are the last people you often want to hear from, right? And you're like, oh boy, here they come. Right? So here's Moses doing a noble thing. He recognized that God was using him.
Amen.
And so he did everything that he told him to do. And we need to be able to hear things from people that are difficult to hear things from. From people that we may not want to hear things from. From people that we may not think know what they're talking about. But I tell you, when God gets a hold of them, they will make a whole lot of sense. Because God has something for you that you need, and it will change your life. And so Moses did all that his father-in-law said to do. And so he chose able men out of all Israel and made them heads over the people, leaders of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens. And they judged the people at all times of the difficult disputes that they would bring to Moses. But every minor dispute, they themselves would judge. And then Moses obeyed his father-in-law farewell. He said, see you later. And he went his way into his own land. And so Moses continued on with his journey. And I would submit to you that Jethro passed on godly counsel, godly advice. He actually ministered things into Moses' life, direction that changed Moses' life forever. From now on, all Israel was managed according to this principle that Jethro imparted to Moses. And I tell you, you only need one thing from somebody that will change your life and make it a whole lot better. And so often we hear things and we learn things, and you only need those, that one thing that will change your life. And I'm sure that if you really thought about it, there are things in your life that someone has told you that have been a blessing to you even to this very day. And they may not have been Christians. They may not have been saved. But God used them.
Amen.
And that is something you cherish. That is something you hold on to. And don't take it for granted. And so he moved on and did what God had called him to do, leading the people through the wilderness with this process of organization in hand. And so Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth that which is good, and an evil man brings forth that which is evil out of the treasure of his heart. But out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. In other words, whatever you're full of, whatever you're full of, that's what's going to come out of your mouth. Out of the abundance or the overflow of your heart. And so we must make sure that our heart is right with God. We must make sure that our desire is for the Lord, that we're not pursuing selfish gain, that we're not just trying to make a name for ourselves, or we're not just trying to do something so that we can get pat on the back, or so that we can have whatever the world's goods or resources are. But that whatever we're doing is for the purpose of following the plan of God. Moses wasn't doing his own will. Moses was doing the will of God. He was bringing the people out of Egypt, through the wilderness, and into the promised land. Not to make a name for himself, not because he thought he was some great noble leader, but because God told him to. Because God chose him for the task. He was chosen from the day he was born, when he floated down the river. He was chosen and he was called, and God was with him his entire life. And I would submit to you that God is with you, and God has chosen you. And if you will stay faithful to God, if you will seek him with your whole heart, if you would be even as Moses, who had a stuttering problem, and he couldn't speak clearly, and so he didn't have confidence in himself because of his own condition, it caused him to seek the face of God. And I would submit to you, if you could get free from your pride, then God can use you too. And when you learn how to seek the face of God, that is a sign that pride has no place in you. That your desire is to do the will of God. And when you seek first the kingdom of heaven and all of his righteousness, everything else will be added unto you. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, honor the Lord from your wealth. In other words, with all of your resources, whatever God blesses you with, honor God with it first. First. It's the first fruits of God. The first fruit of God is the very thing that God is looking for. It's the difference between Cain and Abel. God is looking for us to bring our best to God, our first before the Lord, and we lay it before him, and we consult him, and he gives us godly direction. It says, if you do this, your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. New wine in the scripture represents what? The Holy Spirit of God. It represents God working in your life and in your heart afresh and anew. An outpouring of the Spirit of God. We need new wine. And you can't put new wine in old wineskins. Isn't that right? Oh, you need to be washed clean. That's a heart of repentance. A yielded heart. A desire to serve the Lord. And to do what the will of God is. To forsake your own will and your own ways. And focus on hearing what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and doing. And following through and doing it. Isaiah 43:1-2 says, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Hallelujah. Oh, how do you feel about that? Oh, you belong to God. And God says you belong to him. You have been bought with a price, Paul said, and you are no longer yours. But you have been purchased with the shed blood of Christ on the cross. And because you have yielded your heart and your life to Jesus, you belong to him. And he will not forsake you nor leave you, but he will be with you even to the end of the age, the word of God says. Oh, you ought to be excited this morning. You want to know that God is able to do abundantly more than you could ask or imagine. So much so that as you live your life, we know that good things happen, bad things happen, crazy things happen, awesome things happen, annoying things happen, and just downright aggravating things happen. But God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they will not overflow you or drown you. It says, and they will not cause you to suffer any loss. He says, when you walk through fire even, he says, you will not be scorched. Hallelujah. You can go through even the most difficult and the toughest times, challenges and hardships, sickness and disease, all kinds of problems can come your way, but God says you will not be consumed by them. The flames will not burn you. Oh, you will be able to stand. You'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And you will be able to endure the flames because Christ is in the fire with you. You are not alone, but the Lord your God is with you. Why? Because you belong to him. Exodus 18:10 says that Jethro said to Moses, blessed be the Lord who delivered you. I would say, blessed be the Lord who delivered us. Hallelujah. Who delivered you. And it says, from the hand of the Egyptians, who represent the world or the evil one, and the hand of Pharaoh, who represents a type of Satan and one who would do evil against you, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians, the world or the society that oppresses Christians. God says, he has delivered you. Hallelujah. He says, now I know the Lord is greater than all the gods. And why is he saying all the gods? Because he was a pagan and because he worshiped all those different gods. And so now he sees the light because the witness of God is greater than the witness of man. And when you live your life in a way that enables others to have the witness of God raised up before them so that they can see Christ in you, so that they can see what God has done and what he can do, they will glorify your God who is in heaven because of what God has done in your life. And so he says, indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people. And then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrificed it to God. And Aaron comes with all the elders of Israel, and they ate a meal with Moses' father-in-law. Well, brothers, it's time for us to go have a meal as well. And there is no greater day than Father's Day, because hopefully we don't have to pay. Hallelujah. And so, let us go and eat a meal with our families and enable God to use us to overflow with the love of God, with the principles of God's word, and to apply the wisdom of God. And let us impart what God has given us to those in our families, in our household, in our sphere of influence, on our job, and those who God would raise up who happen to come our way. And let us know that we cannot do this alone, but we need one another, but we need each other so that the will of God can be accomplished. And when we trust in him and don't lean to our own